Pitrani. So Baruch Pitrani is a very controversial bracha. It's subject to a frontal machlokes as to what it means altogether, two almost diametrically opposite views that we find expressed already, roots in the Rishonim. I tried to show you that part of the discussion is already in the Chazal, a discussion amongst the Acharonim as well. And then hopefully to sort of contextualize the bracha and the debate about Shem and Malchus, etc., within the broader discussion of chinuch and parental responsibility, in this vein. So again, it just comes up here, and it's a little bit agav, but I thought it would be a nice sugya to look at. So hopefully, people got a chance to do, a little bit of hachana, and then we'll jump right in. Okay. Menachem, I don't know if it's putting too much pressure on the leg, but if you're able to, do you want to just take the Shulchan Aruch for us?
Sure, yes. I'm going to pull it up.
Okay, I will, just for people's convenience, I'm going to put it in the chat as well.
Rabbi, I was thinking of going to the protest today.
Okay. Menachem?
Yeah.
You have it?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so, what we have here is... it's really interesting. The formulation "Shepitrani meon show shalzeh" sounds like some kind of a shevach / hoda'a that one will no longer be liable for certain penalties that are associated with zeh. Very strange kind of a formulation. Kirachim aval banim. Imzarchalav Hashemesh, it just sounds like a little bit distant to say the least. And then we have the Ramah's position, V'tov Levarich below Shem V'malchus. So it seems like a hedge, right? So, we don't want to necessarily go all the way here, but we don't want to ignore it altogether. So let's, split the difference and Tov Levarich below Shem V'malchus. So the question really is, what's the nature of the bracha? And does splitting the difference really help you in the end? Whereas if you don't think you should say it, don't say it. If you think you should say it, then say it. But, as they like to say in French, how much does it help to be nishtahin, nishtaher? You could avoid implicating issues of losisa Hashem Hashem Elokech Halashav. So, okay, Menachem, let's take it a little bit further, right? So, you could just your sixth sense would tell you this was coming from the Gra. The Gra says Yesh Omrim.
Yesh Omrim is
blue. So this is the Bereishis Rabba, Reish Parshas Toldos, Parshas Samach Gimel, right? V'chihai b'mariel v'lchos kriya satorav zeloshono
b'zman.
So basically, Ephraim, if you had to summarize in a sentence the Gra's position, what would it be? Ephraim? What's that? Right. So he's having that machlokas with the Ramah, but Yenis, and what's he really driving at?
A bracha doesn't necessarily need to be included in the Gemara, I'm not sure it to be a bracha.
Right, okay, so that appears to be the underlying issue, right? So it's a question that we've dealt with in terms of the Rosh before as well, the Rav's Kepeda. But the Gra says, either say it or don't say it, right? That's not, if you think this needs to be said, so say it. And if you don't think it should be said, then it shouldn't be said. But what's this, bracha below Shem V'malchus? It's, right? if it's a, now the other thing which is interesting, and you get the original line here, Akiva is what? That the Gaon who has the citation from the Ma'aril is that it's not just Beno Shanasa Bar Mitzvah, but it's interesting, in particular, the timing.
Kriyas HaTorah
involved. Yeah, what do you think about that? So it could be just like, you know, this is a good opportune time. They're going to be throwing candy or whatever, so let's, you know, let's do it now. It's a more dramatic moment. But what do you think, Akiva? Is that the only possible explanation?
Oh yeah, I think we saw the grunt when we talked about Kriyas HaTorah as like the, wasn't he the Shita that said that the Baal Koreh was kind of alone on an island and everyone had to be in the sitter? Like he takes Kriyas HaTorah extremely, extremely seriously.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that, right. Yeah, I don't want to accuse the other views in that sugya of not taking it, but yes, it's true. He certainly did. But you're dealing with the paradigmatic kind of a chova satzibor. That's what I'm interested in from this point of view. So, Shimi, what was your take?
I was thinking that that's because when he's getting an aliyah on the Torah, that's, you know, when it finally like hits you that, oh wow, he's a bar mitzvah doing something that only someone who's bar mitzvah could do, not necessarily anything else.
Okay, so that there's a certain trigger is what Shimi's saying. There's something which is triggering like a reaction on the part of the father, and maybe that's it. So it's sort of a din in this, you know, newfound ish, you know, Zakatan Gadoli Hiya, and that's the trigger. Okay, that's very elegant. I was going to save that for a second, but we'll do Shimi's first. Or the alternative is there's something about the performance of a Chova Satzibur which causes the father to have this reflection. So let's try our best to keep that in mind as we move forward. So I now wanted to take, you know, like a major step backwards, you know, in terms of the chronology of all of this, even if you assume, just for argument's sake, that the Vilna Gaon really is a Rishon, as we like to say around the yeshivas, right? Nonetheless, it's still taking things back a few millennia to go from the Vilna Gaon back to the Chumash. So this is a little bit of an unorthodox pedagogy here, but I'd like to present things in this light. Okay, so Ezra Baron, go ahead.
Can you read Nigra?
Well, this is now just if you don't mind the pasuk from Kiseitse.
Okay. Lo yomsu avos abanim, uvanim lo yomsu al avos, ish pechato yimasu.
Yeah. So, you want to just elaborate for a second?
Oh, okay. Well, basically just saying that we can't do things based on a hereditary basis. Like, it has to be each person's independent of their own father.
Right. So there's like a halachic, you know, principle being stated here, right? Which is ish bechato yumasu. So what is that halachic principle basically, Ilan?
That you can only get punished for your own sins.
Personal responsibility. Right? So it's interesting to phrase it that way. You could have just said ish bechato yumasu, but the resha dekra, you know, is omer darsheni. Because the Torah chose to like formulate it in a very particular way. How did the Torah choose to present the issue? That you might have had some havam, it's like, I don't, you know, it's almost like a non sequitur. It's just say ish bechato yumasu, right? That there's no collective, you know, punishment. You can't just penalize people for things that other people did. You know, this isn't, you know, the havdil elef alfei havdalos viribe revavos, you know, there was a lot of partisan activity in what was then called Czechoslovakia, until it'd been swallowed up, you know, against the Germans. During the Second World War, you know, the Czechs would kill a German soldier or a soldier from the SS, and the Germans would just, you know, mercilessly massacre a town. You know, they'd kill 300 people. So just say, ish bechato yumasu. That's not the way the Torah works. You know, we don't hold people responsible for the actions of other people. But there's this, you know, predicate here, right? Lo yumsu avos albanim, uvanim al yumsu alav osam, like you might have thought that in that case, things might look a little bit different. And the question is, what's that all about? What is that all about, David? What's the Hava Amina? And then obviously this is going to be the Baruch Shepitrani, you know, segue.
That maybe in some cases, as we'll see, people are responsible for other people's sins, like the father for the son.
Right, so that maybe the father and the son, you know, you might have thought would be an exception. And then the question is, what was that Hava Amina about? Is it based on, let's say, a Pasuk, or if you know, like specifically... If you had to pick a pasuk that might have given you such an idea.
Pokein avon avos.
Right, pokein avon avos albanim, al shlishim val ribeim. So there is some kind of a notion of that. What that means is obviously very mysterious. And we'll take a look at you know different perspectives about that. But that somehow the ish becheto yumasu might not necessarily have covered that had it not been stated explicitly. Which is all, by the way, Yehuda, a way of saying that parents and children are so deeply linked with each other that you might think that ish becheto yumasu is going to provide general immunity, but it's not going to provide parent-child immunity. Right? That might have been the Hava Amina. So then the question is like, well, what's the maskana of ish becheto yumasu? Because you could still say, yeah, ish becheto yumasu, but preserve a particularly terrifying reality, even in the maskana, that ish becheto yumasu, but who would not be, you know, immunized by that halachic reality, Rami?
Katan.
Exactly. Everybody hear that? Because it's ish velo katan. And maybe it's not just katan in general, we'll see, this could be actually a very important nafkamina between a sugya and ksuvos and a sugya and Sanhedrin. You might say it the way that Rami said it, excellent Rami, that it's a din in katan. Or you might say it that it's specifically a din in not katan, but if you had to add one word before that, Ben Sion?
I was going to say isha, but
oh,
this is an
interesting... I hear you, right. I hear.
Right.
But if Noam, what do you think? Who would it be? I know you're limited in terms of vocalizing. But what's the?
But I can talk today.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
I missed the question, so.
Oh, okay.
I can't talk about this.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least you're ra'oy ledaber. Ephraim. Right, bino katan. So the question is, maybe ish becheto yumasu is lafuke katan, or lafuke bino katan. Those are really two dinim. And since you guys saw, that could be an enormously important nafkamina in terms of two very different presentations that we have here, in Chazal. So this is what the pasuk says. And the early indications of Baruch Shepitrani, whether you're a Ramon man in terms of Bili Shem V'Malchus, or whether you're a Gon man and saying, you know, go all the way, you know, B'Shem V'Malchus, the early indication of Baruch Shepitrani, you know, might mean that there is some kind of lingering parental responsibility. However you understand On Shol Shol Zeh, it's a very ambiguous expression. So there is, you know, halachic data to support the idea that ish becheto yumasu still leaves open the window for non-anashim, dahainu, as Rami says, katanim, and in particular, bino katan. Now Rashi was all over this. Ish becheto yumasu. Go ahead, Noam. Noam Baronholtz, go ahead. Aval mi.
Where did it say that?
The source four.
Rashi. Oh, okay.
So what's he saying?
I think he goes with the first reading that it's just Oh, no, it's no, second reading. That's talking about a Ben Katan.
Exactly. So his point of view was, quite ironically, Noam, just elaborate, that even though the Pasuk starts out by specifying this relationship, right, Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim, Uvanim Lo Yumsu Avosam, Ish Becheto Yumasu, the Ish Becheto Yumasu actually comes to say, well,
that the kids will die for their father's sins.
Right, I see you, you know, breaking into something of a smile, you know, it's a little mysterious why you'd be smiling about that, very, you know, Machiavellian, perhaps. But right, that it's a little bit of a surprising outcome. Right? Lo yumsu avos albanim, banim lo yumsu avosam, right? Personal responsibility. You know, Ayn Rand could smile at this pasuk. Ish b'cheto yumasu. You know, we're not going to be helping each other sink or swim. It's a spiritual, you know, Darwinian world. Ish b'cheto yumasu. You know, and we're not going to, you know, mourn those who can't keep up spiritually. And Rashi says, well, wait a second. Ish b'chata yumasu delimits whatever immunity you think the Resha Dekra grants. Lo yumsu avos abanim, uvanim lo yumsu avosam. Now, what Akiva, what Rashi doesn't explain is why that should be true. Right? If there's an inherent logic to ish b'chata yumasu, dehainu, that people should not be punished for things that they did not do, ha'af tispeh tzadikim rasha. So why should it be true that b'no katan is vulnerable?
I think you could, I guess it's not so, like, I guess, rational, but you could go down the route of a father and a son are so close together that they share, like, in essence, as people, they're like, we saw how a bond in the last sugya is formed between a father and a son without them even meeting each other, without even seeing each other. So maybe that bond goes so far as to kilu combine them into one person for some, I guess, uses. So in this case, we say a father and a son are so close, even at such a young age. It doesn't take years and years to forge a relationship like this from a very young age, even b'nei akatan. So that Bnei HaKatan can take the brunt, kind of like Arvus, for his father's actions.
But so then why should that stop being true at Bar Mitzvah?
Because at that point we can say that this person has, first of all, let me say, that's definitely a weakness in the approach. I'll grant that up front. But I think we can say that once a person reaches a certain point, so he now has to be held responsible for his own actions as well. Because otherwise he would never develop a sense of responsibility and he would always just be reliant and be an Ariv in his life. And we want people to develop independence.
As well.
As well, yeah.
Right, there's a difficulty. Yeah. Michael?
So, the Rashi has in this case, Banim Yamusu Alavos. Alavosam, but what about Yamusu Avos Albanim?
Oh, very good. So the Sifrei doesn't address that.
Because that's especially the exact thing that the Bracha is talking about.
Ooh, then you're making a big assumption there. You're already taking sides here, Michael. In the Meon Shoshal Zeh, you know, that could swing either way, could it not?
It seems to me like it's saying that the Av is saying that I'm no longer responsible for the onesh that would have that the Ben would bring upon me.
This is like a Rorschach test for what kind of a father somebody's going to be. You know, it's like, which side of the machlokas are you on? So we'll see. I could definitely hear that, but I think there's other possibilities as well. So this is obviously a very, very, very fascinating pasuk, with all kinds of implications. Now again, you know, there's some havamina that banim and avos, and I think Akiva is correct about this part of it, is that there's some very deep bond there. That, you know, might have, you know, led you to a particular pattern. or expectation. And the Torah says, no, it's not going to be that way. It's rather ish b'cheto yumaso, but even in the maskana, that door is still not fully closed. So there's an incident in Malachim that I had you guys look at, which I thought was really relevant to an understanding of what this pasuk might mean, because it's one of these few spaces where the Torah Shebichsav directly comments on itself. Anybody happen to take a look at this? Anybody see what I'm talking about? Shimmy?
Yeah. We're talking about source 6.
Yeah, so you just summarize it, then we'll see it inside. So what was the story there?
So Rish Lakish had a tutor for his sons, and then...
Torah Shebichsav.
And then the tutor, I'm saying you're
going off in a different direction. You have an important contribution. Just what's the story that I'm referring to that might provide a much narrower reading of
that the tutor.
Not the tutor. Still not the tutor. Yeah, Yenison.
Malachim at Warsaw, where the Pasuk explains why they Malachim were not made, because it says in the Torah, was Teretz Misha, that was called, it believes to all of us, but it believes to all of us.
You're going to tell Rabbi Jack there, this man has mastered Sefer Malachim. Exactly right. So that there could be a very narrow definition to this Pasuk. There was, what was the Minig back in the day? I'm not saying, the Minig, was, in the sense of, al tishkach toras, imecha, kind of a minag, but the practice was, Levi, we look forward to your undoubtedly colorful presentation of this issue.
Just that you have to, if someone whacks your dad, you have to whack him back and his kids.
Right, what was the logic there?
Probably something like, if someone knows you're going to kill their kids, like Trump said, to go after the terrorist families, like if they know that, then they're not going to want to mess with you. And also, someone's kids are also invested against you. So as long as as long as they're still alive, they're always going to be a threat.
Yeah, so I always assume like the second svara that you gave, right? That the zakatan gadol, yeah, and that's already a dangerous situation. Because, if you want to, let's say, antagonize somebody, that's a pretty good way to do it. Like, if you want to get off on the wrong foot with somebody, having that particular history is obviously damaging to, developing a constructive relationship. So let's take a look at that inside. So Levi, very well done. Okay, Levi, you want to do the honors? And this would obviously neutralize to a very great extent the meaning of lo yumsu avos albanim, vanim lo yumsu al avos. So,
okay, yeah, I'll take us away. Bishnas chitayim yoash ben yoachaz melech Yisrael, molach amatsyahu ben yoash melech Yehuda. Benashim v'chamei shana hiyav malchov, v'asim v'seisha shana malach Yerushalayim, v'shem imo yeho adon min Yerushalayim. Vayas hayashar b'enei Hashem, rak lo k'david aviv,
right, it's not a knock. Not everybody can be David. It's okay.
Rak habamos lo saru od ha'am mezabachim katerim ba'abamos. Vayhi ka'asher chazka hamam lacha b'yado. Vayach es avadav hamakim es hamelech aviv. V'es b'nei hamakim lo heimis kakosu v'sefer tiras moshe asher tzivo Hashem leimor. Loimusu avos abanim, uvanim loimusu al avos, kiim ish v'chet o yumas. So, I wonder whether the fact that it mentions that kechol asher asa yo'ash aviv asa is relevant.
Well, it is very striking, right? Because he has this, identification with his father, especially Levi, very good Heyara. Torah Shebichsav, Heyara, beautiful, right, where there was like the zigzag effect, right? Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Uziyahu, Yotam, right? There is a zigzag, so the fact that you have at this relatively later stage, you know, parallel father son, I think is interesting. That's a good hayara. So the way that the pasuk here lo yumsu avos albanim uvanim lo yumsu al avos ish bechato yumasu is presented, and you know, in a laudatory way by Tanakh, is that what the pasuk really means is not so much bidei
shamayim, but rather bidei adam.
Beautiful, Levi. Right. That the way to think about it is that in terms of the based in Shalmata, right? The based in Shalmata, or you know, the Melech, as we discussed last year, are certain properties of the based in Shalmata, the Sanhedrin and the Melech and the Drashos Haran. You know, not the time to get into the whole discussion there about the role of the Melech interacting with the Sanhedrin. But basically, you know, human punishment should be meted out on the basis of what, you know, human beings should do. So in a certain sense, that really narrows the scope of the pasuk. Ilan, why do I say that? Because that leaves open the possibility
that Hashem could still take
that, right, Bedine Shamayim, you could have, you know, a much broader sweep of responsibility. And that, Ilan, takes us back to which countervailing principle? A principle that on its face would seem to establish the basic level of mutual responsibility that Jews would have in terms of onshin for each other. Right, which always has a nice ring to it. People always quote that in the most affirmative sense. I'm not knocking it, but the truth of the matter is, what other meaning does it have?
That if our brothers are sinning, then we have to try to stop it.
Right, and if we don't, then
it's considered as if we did it.
Right, we're, you know, it's not altruism, right? It's pure self-interest at that stage. So this pasuk is, these psukim in Malachim, in Devar Hayamim as well, obviously, you know, raise this question of whether or not Dinei Shamayim at all can be held to this standard. So again, Rashi seemed to indicate that it was the case, with the exception of Bino Katan, a very narrow exception to a general principle. You know, Me'idach, if you're just looking at these psukim, and we'll have to see, you know, how this can be filtered through the lens of Torah Shebaal Peh, especially the point that Shimi was raising, very persistently, I might add, in a good sense, you know, whether or not this holds water, but you certainly have a chilek here, Dinei Shamayim and Dinei Adam. So Rami, let me just get you in now, and then we'll come back.
No, Rabbi, I figured it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your hand, Zoom, mistakenly believes you still have a question. You know, which right. Just goes to show you that they need to do another system update. This will be system update 6.0, which will be a very targeted patch for understanding what's going on in Rami's mind. Ezra.
Yeah, is it possible to suggest that you could still have this pasuk in Malachim and still say that it's Hashem that's doing this punishment? Because you could say that they are basing their din off of what Hashem does, and it's supposed to be like walking in the ways of Hashem.
Right, v'halachta bedrachav, you know, mahu no kem, afata no kem.
Yeah.
Right. We usually don't take it to some of the more din perspectives, but you're absolutely right. It's never, you know, only binary, you know, either or, but it could be and as well. So, okay, so let's take a look. So he said that, you know, if you follow the approach just based on the Psukim and Malachim, it could be that there's no shaychus whatsoever to Dinei Shamayim. If you're looking at the Sifrei, which Rashi quotes, you do get the impression that there is a shaychus to Dinei Shamayim in terms of Ish Bechato Yumasu, but with a very local exception for Bino Katan, maybe for the reason that Akiva said, they're so deeply related, and then it's hard to figure out, well, what changes exactly after that point in time, you know, but let's take a look. So the other approach that we noted would be to say that it's Ish Bechato Yumasu to the exception of Katan in general, right? So let's take a look at the Gemara as it's presented in Masechta Ksuvos. It's a very challenging, very, very challenging Gemara. Okay, so Shimi, you were all over this Gemara. So you have it, Kihadar of Chia Baraba?
You're muted.
Oh, I didn't realize I was muted, sorry. Do you want me to summarize it or read it?
If you don't mind reading it inside.
Right. Ki baraba mikre abne dirish lakish hava amri la la makne abre dirish lakish hava chivle nuka yama kama lo aza alagabe lemachar lo aza alagabe lemachar devre li huda barnachmani miturgmania amar le kum ame ema milta kol kivle nuka patach be amar Vayar Hashem Vayinatz Mikas Benavu Bnosav Dor She'avos Minatzim LaKadosh Baruch Hu Kois Al Baneihem V'Al Bnoseihem U'Meitim Kishehem Ketanim.
So this is a very difficult Gemara on many, many levels. But even at the Pshat level, I think Eitan Mermelstein, what's the basic challenge of this Gemara? So we have this tragedy that happens to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who has this close relationship with Reish Lakish because he teaches Reish Lakish's kids, either Tanakh or you know, Torah Shebaal Peh, but whatever it is, you know, and then he suffers this, you know, devastating loss of a child. And Reish Lakish says to the Meturgaman, let's go over there and, you know, say something, you know, of some meaning, you know, what's to say, but you're going to say something of some meaning, you know, to the father, to the, you know, grieving father. And then what's the message here?
Like, it's kind of your fault. Your child died because of your failure to be an Oved Hashem.
Right. So that, Eitan, right, so what becomes a little difficult to understand about that?
That, first of all, the pasuk in Devarim about being responsible for your own actions.
Oh, right, right, yeah, for sure. So that there's all that right in Onas Devarim and all kinds of other issues, but just internally, in terms of what the goal was here.
That it's just like a disturbing idea to think that your actions could be, your failure to act could cause the death of a child.
Right, so that I think is definitely like a generally true, right? Like, you know, it is very, I call it terrifying, and I want to come back to that. But just like internally in the Gemara itself, there's something difficult. Ephraim?
I mean, I think the difficulty is how would it be comforting to say this is your fault? What I would say is I didn't read it. I'm talking with Craig about this. I didn't read it that way. I read it as being, it's the door, right? It's the generation's fault. I'm not blaming you, but you see, like, you know, that you can blame the death of the children on the fact that our generation, you know, is not where it's supposed to be.
Totally agreed. Now just finish the thought. You brought us so close. I was hoping you would say that, right? That this actually is a nechama, because he's saying, first of all, your child didn't do anything wrong. Second of all, you personally didn't do anything wrong. It's dorish avos menatzin, that the banim are going to suffer the penalty. But why am I so fascinated by this in light of our previous analysis now? If that's true, and I agree with you, that's a very plausible reading of the Gemara. Maybe the most compelling.
The circle of arvus from being just you for your children to really being kol yisrael arayz and zevazeh.
So ish becheto yumasu is not prat. Right. So just to put it in halachic terminology, ish becheto yumasu is not lafuke bino katan. It's lafuke, as Rami said, katan. Right. What's that? So,
I would say whether or not it's no, like, just
kind of in general. Yeah, Ephraim, it was a little hard to hear you, but you know, the point is that now this opens the door to the ketanim in the generation being very vulnerable population, you know, a very, very vulnerable population, because they're vulnerable not to their, you know, own behavior, but to the, you know, the... you know, avos haminatzin, and that makes them all collectively a very vulnerable group of people. So Rami, where's Rami? I don't see him right now. There you are. So Rami, that's exactly what you said. That's the way you read the pasuk. Ish becheto yumasu is not prat lebenokat, unlike the sifrei, but but prat l'katan in general. Right? So that's that obviously, I think, is the only way to understand how this could possibly be a nechama. What would be worse to tell Rav Chiya than to go over there and say, I wanna be Menachem you. It wasn't the kid's fault, it was your fault. You know, Ein lechonaz dvarim, you know, gdola mizal. So it has to be almost Ephraim the way that you interpreted it. Either Reish Lakish is a sadist, which is not possible. You know, it's not an acceptable interpretation of the Gemara. Or that's what he meant to say. Okay? So now let's take a look at the critical source, at the most famous Makor, which is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Ilan had alluded to before. Okay, so Avi of New Rochelle will have you, you know, do the honors here. Right. So again, that would be a very, you know, important way of neutralizing the entire sugya. That this is a very narrow din in Eidos, right? That the Psul Karov, and we'd be interested to know how far the Psul Karov extends, but Midoraisa for sure, you know, Mefurash Bikra, we have the examples of Avos and Banim, for all the reasons that you guys said, because that's the closest possible relationship. So that's what the Gemara thinks, right? That, you know, in general, ish bechato yumasu means that people can only be punished for things that they did, not for anything else. There's nothing, you know, more to talk about there. But this very enigmatic, you know, first part of the pasuk, like, why do you even need it? Oh, that's a din in Eidos. Okay, fine. Okay, so Avi, go ahead. So then the Gemara circles back and says, maybe not so fast.
Uvarim bavan avos lo. V'haksiv, pokir avon avos abanim, hasam kisha ochezin maise avoseem biodeem, kidetanya. V'af bavonos avosam atem yimaku kisha ochezin maise avoseem biodeem, ata omer kisha ochezin o eno ela kisha eno ochezin, kisha omer ish bechato yimasu, hare kisha ochezin maise avoseem biodeem. V'lo, v'haksiv,
v'chashlu ish
be'achiv, v'achiv, Ish be'avon achiv, milah mechikulan reim zebazeh, hasam shahaya biyadam limchos velo michos.
So that's exactly what Ilan was alluding to, that when you extend it out of the family pod, you know, if you want to get to the broader societal level, so then there had to have been the possibility of mecha'a, and, you know, your failure to be mocha, you know, midelo michu barabanan, you know, shma mina kanicha lehu. You know, as the famous line in Masechta Gittin says, in the context of Bar Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So if you want to extend it, Yehuda, beyond the family pod, so you need to have at least given people the opportunity to be mocha. I mean, that itself is a remarkable statement of guilt, right? If I, you know, witness somebody committing a crime and I don't do anything about it, that doesn't make me, you know, legally liable. But halachically speaking, arvus is a reality. But what this Gemara had established before that is within the family pod, this is not necessary, right? The opportunity for mecha. Or is it? Is it just implicit that, you know, there was a chance that, you know, the Av always had, or the Ben always had to make a difference? Maybe. So one way of looking at it. But the simple interpretation of the Gemara is that you don't need the mecha factor there. What you really need is something else. But that something else is so powerful that it, you know, hadra kusha l'duchta. So what's that something else, Noam Barinholtz, where we say, here's really where you can imagine that children should be punished for the sins of their parents, but it's such a powerful answer, then you start wondering, well, what does that even mean? It's almost like a paradox. Go ahead, Noam. All of a sudden, you were so clear before. You were like, what happened? He was so clear. disconnected your phone. We'll wrap up in a second. Disconnected your phone. That's terrible. That's it. I'm giving you a disorderly conduct for this semester. Citation. So what's the answer the Gemara wants to give? Ilan?
Right,
such a good answer, but the problem is...
then they should be punished because they're doing bad stuff.
Right. What do you mean, poked avon avo salbanim? Right? It's their own fault, right? They did this in themselves. So, im kvara is kvar. So what did you really gain? You didn't explain how banim can be punished for their, you know, fathers. Ah, you all are going to tell me, you have some fancy algorithm that instead of getting X, you get, you know, 5/3 X or, you know, 3X, you know, or, you know, all the Mefarshim on the Chumash, like they have all these creative algorithms for what it's supposed to look like in terms of, no, if it's, you know, the Shilashim or the Rebayim, and all these fascinating discussions that you have there, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban and the Malbim later on gets in on the fun, you know, to try to figure out, like, what exactly is happening here? If they're doing it, so they should be punished themselves. So, if it's two generations, you get a compound interest, and like, you know, we're gonna hit you with the, it's like speeding in a school zone kind of a situation with, narcotics in the car, you know, it's, maximum sentencing times 4, you know, or again, whatever your math is. But the Kshaosan Maisa Avoseyam Biadeyan part of it, as Ilan correctly notes, is like, well, then why do you need this whole issue of Poked Avon Avos Albanin? What did you gain? These people are guilty themselves. You don't need to, you know, appeal to intergenerational guilt. So either way, what we have here is two very different Gemaras. We have the Gemara in Ksuvis, which seems to say Ketanim are a vulnerable population. Bichlal. Ish Becheto Yumasu protects Anashim. Doesn't protect Ketanim. Dor Shavos Menatzin. The Ketanim are going to be, you know, be the ones to pay the price. A frightful Gemara, as Eitan notes. You know, Meidach of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which wants to keep it within the family, not in a good way, but to keep it within the family, and that's the, you know, sort of the corresponding Makar and Chazal to the Sifrei that Rashi quotes, that it's only Beno HaKatan. And again, then we have a third model, which is the model of Sefer Melachim, which is that none of this is Shayach to Dinei Shamayim. It's all, you know, B'dinei Adam, and there we could understand that, you know, of course, a Bezdin, which operates on principles of Hasra and Eidos, could never possibly, ever, ever possibly, you know, hold children responsible, you know, for, you know, the sins of their parents. You know, the only example that we have of children being punished for the sins of the parents in Chumash is clearly, you know, Dinei Shamayim. It's actually the paradigmatic Dinei Shamayim. What am I referring to? Where Rashi is so astonished by it, he says, you know, Afilu, you know, Olalim V'yonkim are punished because the sin was so severe. Shimi, you rocketed up.
Sidom.
Okay, interesting. Sidom, I think that the Torah makes a pretty compelling case that everybody was guilty. Minar v'yad zakein kolam bikatsa. But where does the Torah specifically say that taf were destroyed? Avi?
Yerani dachas.
Well, interesting. Okay, so in Yerani dachas, you definitely destroyed the whole city, but the righteous people in Yerani dachas, you wouldn't. But what's the, who has it? Yenison?
Maybe you say by Einish Karis, because they're never born with Hilo.
Okay.
Is it Amalek?
Is that?
Is it Amalek?
It could be, right? It could be outside. But I mean, like, something that happened in the Chumash itself. An actual event. Rashi says, you see, Kamakasha, this sin, because it B'dinei Shamayim, it caused the children to die. The youngest of children. Blameless. Shelo higiyu lechinuch children. Michael?
Makas Bechoros?
Makas Bechoros. Vitapam unishehem. Chol asher lahem. Eis kol hasher adam. Shimi? I'll try it again.
Dosan v'avirim.
Exactly. That right? Bo re kamakasha machlokes, right? That the right afilu the taf and the yonke shadayim bedine shamayim were held liable, right? So again, that would seem to dovetail with this makor in Malachim that the yulyum suavu salbanim vanim al yum suavu shish bechato yumasu. So that's a delimitation when it comes to dine adam, but dine shamayim, you know, if it's warranted, can operate, you know, by a different standard altogether. Okay, so we'll hold it up here, we'll continue on with Rambam now. God willing, tomorrow we'll you know, pick it up and round off this little mini sugya about how all of this relates back to Baruch Shapitrani.